the Messiah, the Christ, who came and paid the debt in full with his blood, was buried, and on the third day he rose again to newness of life. And all of our hope is in you. All of our hope is in the resurrection. And all that you accomplished on the cross. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You can be seated if you want to. If you don't, keep standing. Amen. Well, happy Resurrection Day. This is it. This is all of our hope is in the resurrection. Everything that we believe, everything that Jesus said about himself was a lie if he wasn't resurrected from the dead. It all hinges on the resurrection. So whether you call it Passover, Resurrection Day, or Easter, we're celebrating his resurrection. And I just want to tell you something. I got the privilege, along with a few others, to go to Israel in January, and we went inside the tomb, and he is not there. He's not there. It was definitely empty. Before we go much further, Christian persecution around the world has just been on my heart for a long time. And as you know, persecution is rising in many nations all over. It's rising a little bit in our own country. But many Christians, even today, are facing torture, severe persecution, and even death. And I failed to mention last Sunday that in Egypt, 45 Christians were killed there. Since 2005, 90,000 Christians a year have been martyred for just being a Christian. So can we just take a minute and pray for those, our brothers and sisters around the world that are facing persecution? Father, all our hope is in you. All of our trust, our very life is in you. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in all over the world, North Korea being the most persecuted country, India, which we have an attachment to, Father, many Christians are losing their life, persecuted, burned from their home, burned, their homes burned down. Lord, we don't know here what that's like, but you know exactly what it's like. So we pray for them, Father. We pray for the love of God, the peace of God. The Father, that you would keep them safe, that you would keep them mindful of you, and that God, even those of our brothers and sisters' blood that was spilled on whatever continent, whatever country, that blood is crying out to you for salvation for all men. So God, we pray that your kingdom come and your will be done, not only here in our country, but in every country and around the globe. May your name be great. May Jesus be famous. Amen and amen. Well, Renee and I are very, very pleased to have my dad and my stepmom here with us. They've been here for almost a week, and we've just been having a great time and a blast, and we're grateful for them to be here, and it's good to spend time with them. Amen. The resurrection. Wow. Praise God. Let me read a passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. And Kate, that'll be the first slide. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. That's a sad state of affairs if Christ hadn't been raised, but we know that he's been raised. He's raised from the dead. But there is no resurrection without first there being what? A death. Let's talk a little bit about the crucifixion of Christ, and more specifically, what was accomplished on the cross. Everything that was accomplished on the cross is made manifest and is sealed as truth by God through the resurrection. Let's talk about that for a few moments. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word," or the statement, "of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." You know, even, and we know this, even though his disciples couldn't believe that Jesus wasn't going to set up his kingdom right away, that he was willingly going to give his life, and not only just give his life, but in such a brutal way of being tortured and going to the cross. And many people don't believe it today, because when you just think about the cross, it really doesn't make a lot of sense in the natural. But we know it is the power of God, and what he took, all of our sin, all of our sickness, and all of our disease, and he nailed it to the cross. Through the cross, God made provision for sin and the curse that was released in the earth. He made provision for sickness. He made provision for disease. He made provision for lack, hopelessness, fatherlessness, on and on. And he made provision for physical death. Because all those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, put their faith and live for him, will on that last day will be raised to newness of life. Because even death cannot hold the believer down. Just like death could not hold Jesus down. John 3:16, why did God do this? For he so loved the whole world. The Bible says that the word world there is the word cosmos, which God so loved all of his creation. Every planet, every star, every animal, every tree, every stream, and obviously human beings. He loved it all, and he died to redeem it all, because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the curse was released and it affected it all. And so when Jesus died on the cross and he paid to redeem all of the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, puts his trust, relies upon in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. For God, I love verse 17. We don't really quote verse 17 as much as we ought to. But verse 17 says, for God did not send the son into the world to judge the world or to condemn it, but the world might be saved through him. And I love this passage in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. It says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy all of the works of the devil. Everything the devil meant for evil, for harm, for death. For John 10:10 says, for the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I've come to do what? Give you life, but not just life. Abundant life. Amen. That's what I want. I don't want just existence. I want to live and experience the abundant life, because that's what he paid the price for, that we may come into that. God gave who authority over the earth? He gave man. God gave man authority over the earth. This is why Jesus had to come as a man, as a pure man. He had to function, live as a man. He was subject to all of the same temptations, weaknesses, and everything else that man is subject to, all of the limitations of man, of humanity. And he was completely and totally committed, submitted under the authority of God, being sinless. But he had to come as a man, die as a man, that he shed his pure blood into the earth to redeem it back for us. Amen. This is just is incredible. I know we all, most of us all know these truths, but it's so just fun to even talk about them and remind ourselves of what God really has done for us and accomplished for us. Jesus dealt with sin once and for all. I want everybody to hear me. Sin is not a problem any longer. Sin, all sin, is a consequence, or really a symptom, of a heart issue. Sin has been dealt with. No matter what sins the Bible calls sins, or what we call sins, those are all symptoms of a heart issue. And that's what the why the cross is so powerful and the blood of Jesus is so powerful, because it went directly. It didn't deal with symptoms. Thou shalt not do this and don't do that and don't touch this and don't drink that and don't eat this. Those are symptoms. God went to the heart issue and dealt with the heart. The Bible tells us that the blood of Christ is so powerful that it cleanses even our conscience. There's no drug. Man has not created a drug that will clear our conscience. It might temporarily suspend it for a time, but once you come down, it's there. But the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience from all stain of any sin, guilt, shame, fear, doubt, rejection, all of those things. That's powerful. When we accept it by faith. So sin is not the problem. It's a symptom of a deeper heart issue. And that's what Jesus paid the price for. He wanted to go to the heart, the seed of man. Because you change the heart of man and you change the man's speech and you change the man's actions. You work on the outside, just the speech and just the behavior. And then we end up being like what Jesus told the Pharisees. You're whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside. You got the form of religion down on the outside. You've learned to say the right things, behave the right things, but you're full of dead men's bones on the inside. Powerful truths. Second thing I'd like for you to remember. Everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection was not only for eternal life, but it's for now. It's for right now. Now, again, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life, and that life abundantly. Jesus didn't say, I came to give you life abundantly in eternity, although there's truth to that, but I've come to give you life abundant now in this life, on this earth. The Bible also tells us it's the last enemy to be destroyed is physical death. If Jesus doesn't return, every one of us is going to face physical death. But God, praise God, he even made provision for that. That all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ will be resurrected to newness of life. Receive a brand new body that is wearing out. Amen. That is subject to sickness. That is subject to gray hair and wrinkles. And subject to disease. Weakness. I can't work out in the yard as long as without being stiff. Anybody besides Wyatt? Yeah. You're welcome. Jesus, the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross with a crown of thorns on his head, blood dripping into his eyes, skin literally ripped off of his back, nails through his feet, nails through both arms, hands, broken, bloodied, tattered. That is a picture of what sin has done to humanity. That's why God hates it so much. Because he doesn't want that to happen to any one of us. And Jesus took our place on that. Every one of us deserved that. And Jesus took it for us. One of the things, and this is just personal to me, I don't have scripture to back this up, so I want you to understand that. One of the reasons I believe that God left that enemy of physical death, the aging process, the wrinkles, the gray hair, the weakening of our physical body, and eventually death, is an everlasting illustration and a reminder of the effect of sin. Because God never wanted humans to die. He wanted us to live forever. He didn't want us to get older and older and weaker and then die. That wasn't his original intent. But praise God, he's made provision for that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've done this many times, but let's do this again. Isaiah 53:4-5. If you could put that slide up, Cade. And I have put in bold some of the words that we want to take a deeper look at. And we'll go through this somewhat quickly. Now, this is Old Testament, obviously. It was prophesied in the Old Testament way before Jesus came of what Jesus was going to accomplish on the cross for us. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Let's go through this word by word because we need to understand these words. You want to go to the next slide, Cade? Griefs. That word means sickness, disease, suffering, and anxiety. Sorrows means anguish and pain. Transgressions means all of our rebelliousness, disobedience, and guilt. Iniquities means our blame, punishment, evil, perversity, all of our offense against the law of God. And well-being means wholeness, completeness, and peace. It is the word shalom, which means complete wholeness, not partial, but a complete wholeness and peace. So let's reread this passage that we just read in Isaiah with those definitions. You want to go to the next slide, Kate? Surely our sickness, disease, sufferings, and anxieties he, Jesus, bore. I guess you're not happy about that. We can just go and have Easter dinner if you're ready, want to. Surely all of our sicknesses, diseases, and sufferings and anxieties he himself bore. Our anguish and pain he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our rebelliousness, disobedience, and guilt. He was crushed for our punishment, blame, perversity, and evil. The punishment for our wholeness, completeness, and peace fell upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused all of our offense against the law of God to fall on him. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:24 says that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. And the Lord ends up giving us a brand new identity. We truly become sons and daughters of the living God. He gives us a brand new spirit when we are born again. He breathes new life into us. His DNA is on the inside of us, 1 John says. All provision has been made for every sin, transgression, and offense was nailed to the cross. Every evil thought and wickedness of mind and heart was nailed to the cross. Every sickness and disease, both mentally and physically, was nailed to the cross. All guilt, shame, blame, and fear that plagues our conscience was nailed to the cross. It was all nailed to the cross, and it was buried, and it was buried, and it was buried. So don't raise it up again. And it was all buried. The only thing that came out of the grave was Jesus in a resurrected body. He didn't bring all of that sin back with him. He didn't bring sickness and disease back with him. He didn't bring depression and oppression and hopelessness back with him and mental anguish and pain and rebelliousness and all of the effects of the sin and curse, the effect of curse in the earth. Back a resurrected, glorified body. All of our hope rests on the resurrection. You know, we have the only God out of all the world religions that's still alive. The God of Islam, Muhammad, Allah, is dead. Hinduism, Buddhism, and every other religion does not have a God that is alive. You can still visit their prophets' graves. We can visit our Lord's grave, but he's not in there. And his body is gone. The Bible tells us that over 500 people were eyewitnesses to Jesus after the resurrection. The resurrection was so powerful, the Bible says, that when Jesus was raised from the dead, that tombs of the saints were actually opened in Jerusalem. And they came out alive and they went into Jerusalem walking around. Have you ever seen any dead person walking around without watching some zombie movie? There is more evidence that has been collected over the decades and years and centuries to prove that Jesus is not in the grave. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. He stands up and preaches a very pointed message, convicting those people. You're the one that crucified Jesus. Now he's standing in Jerusalem. He can point to the grave. He says it's just over the wall over there. For him to say that Jesus is raised from the dead, they had proof and evidence that he's not in the tomb where he was taken. He's not hanging on the cross anymore. That he was alive and powerful. And Jesus said that when he left, it was better for him to go. Why? Because he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And on that powerful day of Pentecost, the wind blew and the Spirit of God was released into the earth for all those who would receive him by faith and can walk in the power, the miraculous power of God. For all those who put their trust in Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior, become born again and children of God, and the promise of the resurrection from the dead. The entire gospel and everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said is all made valid based on the resurrection. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe the scripture? Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The power and the effect of sin has been broken. Grace is available through faith to live a holy and victorious life. There's nothing, there is absolutely nothing else for any one of us to do. You can't be good enough. You can't give enough money. You can't attend church enough. You can't memorize scripture enough. There's nothing else. It's Jesus and Jesus only. It's faith in him. The only thing is to repent, which means to turn to the Lord. That's the only thing, to repent and to give your life to him. Maybe there's some in the room today that's never done that. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you've drifted from the Lord and been living your own life. Today is the day of resurrection to newness of life. Today is the day of hope. Today can be a brand new life for all of us and for any of us and for the world. Lord, we pray for our city. We pray for our state and for our nation. That the love of God would be poured out, that the power of the resurrection, that on this Easter Sunday, this Passover, this resurrection day, that may many eyes be open to the truth and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. May this be a new day for our city. May this be a new day for individuals, for families, and for our nation in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to take communion together. All of you are more than welcome to do that. Cade's going to assist me. Cade, you want to come up? I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to ask you just to take a few moments and prepare your heart. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Apostle Paul was speaking to the church. Corinthians, and he said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do before you receive communion, to examine yourself. Ask the Lord for help in this. Verse 28 again. A man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number have died early. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the Lord. Let's just take a moment or two. Father, we come to you. We ask you to search our hearts as we're searching our heart. If there's any unforgiveness, any bitterness, any hatred, Lord, I pray that you would reveal that to us, that we would repent of that, we would turn our hearts to you, and we would find healing, forgiveness, redemption, and newness of life. Bless you, Lord. I've asked Kay to pray over the broken body of Jesus represented in the bread, and I'll pray over the blood of Christ, which is represented by the juice in the cup. And when we're done, what I would ask you to do is just get up out of your seat, come up, take a cup, take a piece of bread, and if you would return to your seat, and we'll take it together, okay? Moment, Lord God, that when Jesus ate the Last Supper with his disciples the night in which he was betrayed and arrested, and he instituted a new sacrament for his believers. If you need healing in your physical body, take this buffet. Thank you for your power. The Bible says that the resurrection power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in us. We thank you, Lord. You may take the bread and then take the cup. Bless you, Lord. May everything that we say and everything that we do bring glory to your holy name. thank you for healing, for restoration, for transformation. My prayer, Father, is that we would be more like you, that we would be more like Christ in character, in work, and in deed. May you be blessed. May the shalom of God rest on you. May you enjoy your Easter, Passover, Resurrection Day festivities the rest of the day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.